Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The first reading is from Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal in the field and brought every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal in the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is the flesh of my bones and the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore, a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh." Word of God, word of life. Let us read Psalm 8 responsively. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses. Yet you have made them little less than divine. With glory and honor you crown them.
You have made them rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the field. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all the things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere. What are the human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, "I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you." Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? He answered them, What did Moses command you? They said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her. But Jesus said to them, Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Then in the house of the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will not enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Yeah, I thought last week's texts were a little bit rough, and then this set came up. It was a challenge, needless to say. So I'm going to start with a little bit of a story. Bear with me, because at the beginning it may not seem relevant, but I promise it is. On Monday night this past week, I adopted a cat and picked him up on Tuesday night. I have talked about this cat since my interview here, so many of you know how much I wanted it. As I prepared to welcome my first animal into my life, I looked in a lot of places about how to properly acclimate this cat. And a lot of things that I read conflicted with one another. Do you limit the cat to one room as they become familiar? Do you let them roam free? What room do you even keep them in? How much space do you give them? How much attention do you give them? What do you feed them? How much do you feed them? How do you get them to wear a collar if they clearly don't want to, like mine doesn't want to? At first, as a first-time animal owner, it's a lot to think about all at once. Quite frankly, a bit overwhelming. And the moment I brought this cat home and opened his carrier, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was in charge of making sure another living creature was wholly taken care of, and I felt completely unprepared and a bit scared. I panicked a little bit. And when I read these texts for this week, I had a much similar response. Because we hear a lot of different things about how we should read these texts, what their goals are and what they mean, how they impact our lives and our futures. What do we do to face these things? Do we panic and freeze, or do we ignore them and hope they go away? Or do we try to do our best and move forward by figuring it out? In the moment of panic and fear I had when I pulled the top off this cat carrier, I knew freezing and ignoring it wouldn't make it any better. As Gary the cat looked up at me in his carrier, I knew that I had to do my best to figure it out. He was now my responsibility. So I sorted through the information I found online and made a plan of how to get Gary and myself through this transition. But in sorting through the overabundance of information, I began to notice a few different trends of how to make this process the best that it could be for the two of us. Go at the cat's pace and allow them to come to you. Two very valuable pieces of information. And as I was going through the commentaries and colleagues' old sermons, trying to find a way to articulate what the good news is in these texts, I was struggling to find it. And then I noticed a few different themes. The first theme that I noticed is that in Genesis and Mark, in these readings, have a lot of current assumptions that we place on them. Everything from who is it okay to marry, to the ways we use creation to a supposed proper hierarchy of gender. We bring our cultural experiences and place them on the texts that were written to a specific time, place, and people. There's a whole lot going on between the time when the text started being told and the times they were written down. So where does that leave us? Do we just leave it alone and freeze and ignore? No, we look deeper. We attempt to figure out the situation it was written into and how we can apply it to our world today. The underlying idea is that these texts attempt to advance is that we are made to be in relationship with God, each other, and all of creation. God formed creation so that we were not alone, as we see in the Genesis reading. All of us are called to be stewards and care for creation, as we see in the Psalm. We are reconciled to God through Christ's action by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we see in the Hebrews reading. And marriage is one way we develop relationships with each other, as we see in the Mark reading. All of these relationships that we hear about are marred by sin and not whole without Jesus. It is through this damage that the second theme comes up. And that is the issue of using scripture to trap others. In Mark's gospel, we hear about some Pharisees seeking to test Jesus and asking him about divorce. Those attempting to test Jesus were more than aware of what is said in Deuteronomy, where it speaks about a man being able to divorce his wife. And as a rabbi, Jesus would have been aware of it as well. This is an attempt to get Jesus caught in a catch-22. Jesus, however, doesn't fall into this catch-22 and instead proposes another way to look at the situation. And we can learn from this. This idea of trying to find another way and how we need to look deeper into text to fully understand what's going on and how it can apply to our lives now. So consider the gospel lesson. Historically, this gospel has done a lot of harm to a lot of people, especially if we don't look deeper and just take it as the text that it is. It seems to be an outright condemnation of those who go through divorce, and it has been used in such a way that harms women. It has been used to force the idea that heterosexual marriage is the only marriage that's valid to the detriment of same-gender couples. It has been used to force the gender binary to malign the transgender and gender non-conforming communities. The way that it has been used does not align with the purpose of the text. It has been taken out of context, the context in which it was written and applied to our world without thought. This text is about how we're meant to be in relationship with one another. Using text to create a catch-22 for ourselves and others does not honor the way God wants us to relate to one another. There's no trophy for creating these catch-22s using the Bible, and it only creates an us versus them mentality and draws a line in the sand. One of my professors in seminary was always fond of making the statement that when we draw a line, Jesus is always on the other side. To prevent this line from being drawn, it requires us to not take text out of context, but rather examine the deeper meaning behind Jesus's words and actions, and how they align with what our understanding of God's hope and desire is for the world. And quite frankly, it requires a lot more time that can be covered in one sermon. So I can't dissect each and every part, so we must focus on the underlying idea, that of our relationship with one another. Through looking at Christ's words, we can see that the third theme throughout the texts is what is important to him, that we are called to stand with marginalized and disadvantaged groups. At the end of the gospel reading, Jesus insists that the disciples allow the children to come to him. Jesus says it is in the realm of God that children belong. Jesus means that children are important. And in going through this, he intends to broaden who the realm of God is for. In ancient times, children were seen as less valuable than adults and a liability. It's not how we view children now as valuable members of our families. This idea, this statement, that the children are who the realm of God belongs to, is widened. It's widened to include all marginalized groups, those marginalized by race, gender, sexual orientation, ability, class, and age. Jesus calls all those who are at a disadvantage to him and promises inclusion and love while calling the rest of us out to be indignant at the lack of inclusion and love that exists in our world, just as Jesus was indignant that the disciples tried to keep the children from him. There will be moments when we are faced with a lot of information and conflicting views regarding everything from scripture to our decisions in our day-to-day lives. We can freeze and choose to ignore the situation or follow the themes that guide our faith and our lives, that we are called to be in relationship with one another, God, and creation, that we should not use scripture to exclude others, and that we should stand with the marginalized people of our society. Our call to be in relationship with God, one another, and creation is the one that is the responsibility to each and every one of us. There are moments where we will fall short, and God understands this. Jesus came to bridge that gap between where we fall short and God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our decisions to move forward and not stand frozen and ignore situations can help bring God's world to the here and the now. And we are called to do just that for the sake of the world. Without making the decision to do the best I could by Gary the cat and move forward despite conflicting ideas of the best way to take care of him, neither of us could have lived together. And without making the decision to move forward in our relationship with God, one another, and creation, none of us can hope to live up to the hope that God has for us and the reconciliation given to us through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.